أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين. إنه خير ناصر ومعين. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من ليلتنا هذه إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليكم مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعله الله آخر الأحد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. صلوات
اللهم صل على
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah for this opportunity to once again be with you here in the Yasin Educational Center. I was blessed to have an opportunity this past summer to come and visit. And in the course of that visit, I saw that this was a community that was very interesting, very intriguing, active, interested. And I felt that it would be an opportunity, it would be an honor for me to come and join you once again. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes these efforts fruitful. I'd like to acknowledge the presence of Sheikh Hamid Waqar here. And you know, I wish that he would, you know, lend us, you know, his wisdom and give us some of his teachings. And rather than my sitting here, we could benefit from him. But he told me that today he's kind of feeling like taking it a little bit easy. So inshallah, he'll be listening. And then if there's anything that I say that needs to be corrected, I'd like him to please feel welcome to educate us all, if that's the case. According to the moon sighting possibilities, tonight might be the first night of the month of Muharram. And when the month of Muharram comes about, on one hand, it's a time of sadness and a time of mourning. But on the other hand, with that event comes a blessing in the form of an opportunity to use the occasion that happened in history many hundreds of years ago as a means of affecting our current state. And these lectures are one of the ways of doing that. The whole package of different actions that we do to commemorate all of these different things, whether it be the lecture, whether it be the mourning rituals, whether it be the providing of food to those who are mourning, whether it be inviting those outside of the center to come and attend, or taking the message and going into the streets and telling people what happened, or taking the message of Karbala and applying to the current affairs of the world. All of these are ways of positively benefiting from this historical event. What we'd like to do, inshallah, in the course of these speeches, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to do that, is to discuss a topic, inshallah, that I felt would be relevant to all of us. Now, this topic that I'm discussing, inshallah, would be something that will be based on the Quran and hadith and logical points. And to that end, perhaps it might differ from other types of approaches that people may take. Because sometimes you go to Muharram speeches and what you're looking for is to be dazzled a little bit, to be a little bit entertained, you know, have a good laugh maybe, or not a good laugh because it's Muharram, but at least, you know, be a little bit entertained, kind of after a long day of work or school, you're coming to just relax a little bit, and of course cry for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We'll do our best, inshallah, to cry for Imam Hussein at the end of the speech. But during the speech itself, I figured that rather than taking the route of entertainment, I'm not an entertainer, let's make that clear from the beginning. Rather than taking that route, I said, let's try to take an educational route. This is an educational center, let's try to do something which actually will help us. So you'll see that in the course of the nights that will come, inshallah, I'll be making a lot of references to the Quran, to the ahadith. And this is purposeful because I see that brothers and sisters are people who are students of the Quran, students of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. So I'd recommend that if you can, bring a small Quran with you, or maybe pop it up on your iPhone application or whatever it is that you have. Try to use this occasion to become familiar with these verses. If nothing else, at least you'll have exposure to that verse of the Quran. And believe me, once you are exposed to it in one angle, next time you come to it, you'll be like, yeah, I remember there was some point about this verse that I had heard, and it will be an avenue for you to become even more familiar with that verse in the future, inshallah. But the important point is that it's not just about attending, my brothers and sisters. We've done this before. Most of us have had this blessing of attending lectures in Muharram before. Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this opportunity. But the question is that, what's going to be different this time? How many times have we heard what we needed to hear, but how many times have we then acted upon it? And now we're ready for more. You know, they say that people would go to Ayatollah Behjad, rahmatullahi alayhi, when he was alive, and they knew that he had some powers of being able to discern the interior dimension of people. So they'd go expecting that, you know, they say, oh, you know, give us some advice, give us something, and they'd expect something new. Like, you know, whip out a dhikr for me. I want a special thing which will let me, like, you know, swim through the ocean and fly through the skies. But many times, Ayatollah Behjad will look at that person and say that, okay, your responsibility is to act on everything you've already heard before. Just whatever you've heard, act upon it. Once you've done that, then, you know, this is implicit, then you can come back to me and then we'll see, then we'll have a discussion. But until you haven't acted upon those things that you already know you have to act upon, why, what benefit would it be for me to give you something new? This is something for all of us to think about and ponder upon. How much have we acted upon those things that we have already heard? But inshallah, let's try to take this opportunity of acting upon these things, applying them. I'll try, inshallah, in every speech to make at least one practical point of how to take these theoretical concepts and put them into practice. Inshallah, if we can try to do this, then it will be worth the effort. Otherwise, it might be something which we considered as, yeah, a means of getting a thawab. We sat there, we listened, we cried. Inshallah, it will be a source of thawab. But it won't be achieving the reason behind why we came here. This is all a preliminary towards a goal, which is to act and to change based on this information that we receive. Finally, in terms of an introduction, before we actually begin tonight's discussion, is that I wanted to say that, inshallah, I'm here, I'm in the area. If brothers or sisters have any questions, inshallah, I will try my best to help out in terms of finding an answer for those questions. So please feel free to contact me, whether it be before the speech, after the speech. If you have a question, an elaborate question, You can even send me an email. That's perhaps better, because then I can get a chance to look over it and think about it. You can get my email from one of the respected organizers of the event. Get my email, send me an email, and then I'll email you back and I'll tell you, okay, call me or email me. The point is that I'm at your service, inshallah, to see what I can do. Sheikh Hamid is also here with us for a couple of days before he goes to another location within the area, but a little bit farther away. Inshallah, we can take advantage of him as well too. You know, there was a time in the past when ulama didn't need to spend that much time giving speeches or serving the communities. Maybe it was because of the state of their soul was so elevated that just them being there was enough for people to take benefit. There's a story that's told of a very powerful alim. Sometimes it's told as a joke, but actually this scholar was actually somebody who was very powerful. And you know, the part of it that I'll tell you has a continuation, I won't share that with you. But let me just tell you the story. I'm sure you heard this before. You know, one time he's invited to go to a community, and he goes there, mounts the member, and then he asks the people, okay, so how many of you have any idea of what I'm going to talk to you about? Right? Nobody raises his hand because they don't know. They haven't heard him before. So he says that, okay, if you don't have any idea of what I'm going to talk to you about, then how can I talk to you about anything? So then he, you know, comes down and leaves. Right, he's done for the night. Right, people are confused. They're thinking to themselves, like, what do we do? What's wrong with us? Because this person was famous. He was a very powerful scholar. Next night, comes back to the center, mounts the member again. He says, how many of you know what I'm going to talk to you about? Everyone raises their hands. All people raise their hands. So he said, okay, if you know what I'm going to talk to you about, then what's the point of my being here and telling you? Right? So then he comes down and goes home, right? Third night he comes, okay, now these people they think they got him figured out. So third night he goes, he says, okay, how many of you know what I'm going to talk about? Half of them raise their hands, half of them don't raise their hands. He says, okay, well then those of you who know, teach those who don't know. He comes down from the number and then he goes home. Okay. Now, unfortunately, the job is not so easy anymore. The role of the ulama who come to visit isn't just to come, it's not just to come on the member and come down again. They have to say something useful, inshallah. But even beyond that, the experience that brothers have had who have been visiting speakers is that most of the benefit comes about not just from here, but also from the interactions that we have. It's not just about questions either. Even if people would like to share some of the challenges that they're facing, some of the things that they're seeing happening with their brothers and sisters, they can share with us the reason why the people who should be here aren't here. That's also very useful as well too. And I want to say from now that a lot of times someone like myself can benefit a lot more from the community than vice versa, because we can hear things and understand the problems, and then we go back and then we can share this with the scholars, and then it will be a cycle of improving ourselves and improving, inshallah, you as well too. So please don't hesitate to be in contact with us during this time, inshallah. Please say salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. During the course of these nights, the topic I have chosen to speak about is inspired by a tradition which comes to us from the sixth Imam, alayhi salam, Imam As-Sadiq, who is reported to have said, and this comes to us in our authentic books of tradition, he says that وَجَدْتُ عِلْمَ النَّاسِ كُلَّهُ فِي أَرْبَعَ. He says that I came to know that the knowledge which is of use to people is summarized in four things. And then he goes on to name those four things that everyone must know, the four types of knowledge which are useful for people. Number one, أَوَلُهَا أَن تَعَرِفَ رَبَّكَ, that you should know and have awareness of your Lord. وَالثَّانِي أَن تَعَرِفَ مَا صَنَعَ بِكَ, and the second is that you should know what he has done to you, meaning what blessings has he bestowed upon you. Number three, وَالثَّالِثُ أَن تَعَرَفَ مَا أَرَادَ مِنْكَ, is that you should know what is it that this Lord wants from you. And number four is that وَالرَّابِعُ أَن تَعَرَفَ مَا يُخْرِجُكَ مِنْ دِينِكَ, is that you should know what is it that's going to take you out of your religion. In this very beautiful, profound tradition of the Imam alayhi salam, he's saying that there's four things that are worth talking about. Number one is that what you're talking about learning about. Number one is that you should learn about your Lord. Number two is that you should learn about what has He done with you. Number three is what is it that He wants from you? What is your responsibility to Him? And number four, what is it that's going to take you away from that responsibility? What is it that's going to take you away from your religion? Now, when I saw this tradition and I thought about what it is that I need to talk about, I said, how can I divert from the advice of the Imam? Because if there's four things worth talking about, let me talk about these four things and not try to talk about something else, because that would be going against the advice of the Imam alayhi salam. So inshallah, what we'd like to do in the 10 nights is to spend several nights on each one of these topics, focusing a little bit more on the latter two, but also giving due justice to the first two of these four as well, inshallah. So the first knowledge, the first must know that the Imam alayhi salam tells us, we'd like to speak about that tonight, inshallah. And that is that you should know your Lord. أَنْتَعَرِفَ رَبَّكَ. Now this brings about a few questions for us, which is, how do we know our Lord? How can we come to know our Lord? What is the means by which we can come to know Him? Another question that brings up, and inshallah your minds are thinking right now, okay, like what are the questions? If I wanted to, let's ask ourselves, if I wanted to answer that question on the basis of the knowledge I have right now, how would I answer it? Right? One of the questions would be, how can I know and attain awareness of that Lord? A second question that comes up, which is this. What is the difference between knowing my Lord and knowing, for example, Allah? Why isn't it the Imam said, why didn't he say that you should know Allah? Or that you should know the Creator? Or that you should know the Most Merciful? Because all of these are different names of God. Why is it that he refers to God as your Lord? But before answering these questions, let's back up a little bit and say that, okay, this thing that the Imam alayhi salam wants us to know, which is our Lord, how and why is it going to help us? Does he want us to know this? How is it going to help us? What does it do for us? How does this go back to why we were created, and what is the purpose of our being here? This is a bit of a philosophical question, but it's very important that we should know. Let's start out these nights by reminding ourselves of what we're here for. What is the purpose behind our creation? And then we can see, okay, how is knowing these type of things going to help us? And what I'd like to do is take you through a few verses of the Quran which very beautifully depict to us the reason for why we're here. Have you ever wondered that? What is it that God put us here for? What does He tell us about why He put us here on this earth? Let's go back and look at what Allah wants from us. I'm going to take you to about three or four verses from the Quran, inshallah, where Allah explains this to us. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mulk, Surah number 68, verse number 2, He says that, أَلَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He says that Allah says that He is the one, He describes Himself, saying that He is the one who created death and life for a purpose. So there is a reason for why we're here. We're not here just because of some random act of nature that happened to just put us here. No, there's a purpose behind every moment of our existence. And we have to see whether we're achieving that purpose or not. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The reason for why God created life and death, gave us this time span for us to do something with, is to know and to test us and to find out who among us is going to perform the best of deeds. The best of deeds. Now what is the question that brings about in our minds? When we read the Quran, we should remember that we're speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way that the Imams alayhi salam taught us to read the Quran. They would say that when you read the Quran, know that this is from Allah, know that you're in the presence of God, and as if you are speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah tells you that the purpose is for you to perform the best of deeds, the question that comes to mind is what? Well, what is the best of deeds? Right? It's natural. What is the best of deeds? Allah answers that question. He says in Surah Dhariyat, Surah number 51, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, verse 56, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I have created the human beings and the jinns for performing one act, which is the act of worship. So that answers the question. The answer isn't that We have been created just to perform prayers, or just to perform fasting, or just to go to Hajj, or just to go attend majlis, just to read Quran, or just to give charity, etc. But rather, it's something that goes beyond just an outer act. It's this, to become somebody who is subservient to God. You see, every act, brothers and sisters, that we perform, you can look at it like a multidimensional being. Because an act that we do actually in the world of, in the other worlds, the acts that we perform, according to our scholars, according based on ayat and Quran, every act that we perform actually has a form, a material form, not in matter of this world, but in a spiritual form. And this act that we have has several layers to it. There's one layer which is the outer, okay, the physical layer, what you see of somebody. For example, somebody who is going and praying, the acts of bending and bowing and prostrating, these type of things, all of these are acts, that's one part of it. But there's other layers as well too. Take for example, the prayer of Imam Ali alayhi salam on one hand, and the prayer of Muawiyah on the other. Both of these were individuals who were praying in roughly the same time period. And in a very rough sort of view, they looked kind of the same. Right? Of course, we can't compare the two. We can't say that this Muawiyah's prayer was anything like the prayer of Imam Ali alayhi salam. But from the physical level, they look kind of the same. But there's something that differs between the two. Right? There's something very enormously different about the two prayers. And it's not in the outer form, but rather when it comes to that inner reason for why they are performing that prayer, that spirit behind why they're performing that prayer. It's that spirit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to in this verse, where He says that the reason for why He created you is to have that spirit of servitude. Right? So the best of acts is to have the servitude behind everything that we do, whether it be prayers, whether it be talking to our friends, our family, going about our daily life, all of these require an inner spirit, which is a spirit of servitude. Now, when you read this verse, the question comes about in our minds, which is that, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us so that we can do this thing. Is it the case that God is selfish, na'udhu billah, that He wants something from us and that, see, He's going to benefit by seeing us be subservient to Him? He'll like be like one of those, you know, wicked tyrant dictators who sits back and watches all of his, you know, people perform for him, and he's like, yeah, okay, I'm so happy because all these people are doing these things for me. He derives a sense of self-satisfaction, and he can gloat and brag about this. Is that what it is? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself says in Surah Hud, Surah number 11, verse number 119, is that the reason behind the creation isn't so that Allah can benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. He doesn't need. But rather, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. That the reason why God has created us is not for Himself, but rather for mercy, so that He can bestow special mercy upon His creation. So God has a purpose behind why He's doing this, which is that He wants us to attain the special mercy. And that mercy is for those who have that spirit of worship, which is the best of actions that we can perform. So now, you see how we put together three verses? This is the way that the Quran, parts of it speak about the other parts. This is from the ahadith, and we understand that parts of it explain the other parts of the Quran. This is the way of understanding the Quran, by looking at it as a whole entity. Now, in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hijj, Surah 15, verse number 99, that وَعَبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. That the reason for this worship is so that you can attain certainty about God. You can be fully certain and awareness of God. This certainty is a form of awareness about God. So if you want to summarize this into one sentence, the reason for why we're here is to perform the best of deeds, which is the worship and that feeling of subservience to God at all times of our existence. And the reason for doing that is so that God can bestow upon us a special mercy, among which is awareness and yaqeen and certainty about God. Now, let's go back to the topic, which is the first must know according to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says that the first thing that we have to know is awareness of our Lord. So how does this help us now when it comes to our purpose for why we're here? It helps us because if we are to become subservient to God, we have to know, number one, something about God, and we have to know how to worship Him. So learning about our Lord will help us in then being able to worship God and to come to know Him. And as we see here, that the way of coming to attain true knowledge about God is through worshiping Him. And so it's very much intertwined, meaning awareness of God and worshiping of God is one and the same. And that's why Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he explains this verse of the Quran, which says that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, he says that إِلَّا لِيَعْرُفُونَ, that the reason for this is so that you can come to know your Lord. So the point is that awareness of God is very much tied to the purpose for why we are here. Inshallah, by looking at these verses and comparing this, we can come to that understanding. Please say salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Now, when it comes to knowledge about God, one thing that we have to understand is that of everything that we can possibly study, according to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam, this is the most important thing. That one thing that will that is superior in terms of knowledge to anything else is knowledge of God. Ma'rifatullah subhanahu ala al-ma'arif, the highest and the most loftiest of knowledges. In a very beautiful tradition that's reported in Al-Kafi from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he explains this in an analogy. And I think this analogy is very useful for us living in the world today. We find that people are interested in knowledge. Right? People are going to school, going to university, they're seeking knowledge about different types of things. But a lot of times the knowledge that people are seeking, the goal of seeking that knowledge is not God, but rather it's simply so that they can get a better position in this world. Now, we as Muslims are not against that. We support that. We support people being able to provide for themselves, provide for their families. This is a positive thing. Not being in the state of needing other people's assistance. Being able to do our wajib duties when it comes to charity and these type of things as well. But we should do this with the spirit of trying to get God. We're seeing that people are going after knowledge today, but it's not for the sake of God. Very beautiful. He says that if people knew what was in, what type of bounties and blessings were in knowing God, then they would never look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the enemies of Allah to enjoy from this world. A lot of times we see that, you know, some of the most amazing technology and the most amazing types of means of entertainment and recreation, whatever it is, has been given to those people who have nothing to do with God. And sometimes we look at that and we say that, okay, Muslims, you know, we're behind, we need to act like, we need to do what they do in order to get advanced in this world. But look at this tradition. Imam Hassan says, don't be distracted by that type of stuff, right? What's important is the knowledge of God. He says that if they knew that, then they would say that what the other people, the enemies of Allah had, and what they're enjoying, then that would be worthless to them, even worth less than what they step on when they're walking in the street. And then he goes on to say something very beautiful. He says that that those who attain knowledge of God, تَلَذَّذُ بِهَا تَلَذُّذَ مَنْ لَمْ يَزَلْ فِي رَوْضَاتِ الْجِنَانِ مَعَ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ. He says that the knowledge, it's an enjoyable thing. Right? What we're trying to talk about here, my brothers and sisters, if we're able to attain it, he says it's so enjoyable. It's like, he says that it's somebody who's spending time in the perfumed gardens of paradise, in the company of the special friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he goes on to say that knowledge of Allah is un'anisun min kulli wahsha. It's something which gives you solace in the times of fear. Sahibun min kulli wahdatin. It's a companion at the times of loneliness. And nurun min kulli dhulma. It's a light at times of darkness. This is the knowledge of God that we're talking about. So Imam alayhi salam is trying, in another, this is from the same Imam, he's telling us the reason for why we're trying to get this knowledge. So the question comes up, okay, how do we attain this knowledge? How do we come to know our Lord? What is it that we have to do? Some other people, other religions, some of them say that knowledge of God is something which is a matter purely of the heart. It's just a matter of having faith. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Just believe. Believe that there is a God, and that's all that you have to do. Now, what is it that we think about? Is this the right way of attaining God? This requires some explanation. When it comes to knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are two basic ways that we have. One of them is by our thought and through a rational process, understanding that a God exists. And the other is through a combination of our thought and our heart. So when it comes to somebody saying that it's just a matter of having faith in God, and then you'll come to know God, you come to experience God, then we have to ask them, what do you mean by faith? If you mean blind faith, which isn't based on any type of logical reasoning at all, where you are in a total state of darkness with respect to God, and then you just say, okay, there is a God, and that's it, I'm going to believe in Him. If that's what you mean, then we say that no, it doesn't work that way. Because that's something which doesn't make any sense. You're believing in something then which is a construct of your own imagination. So we don't accept that. But when it comes to knowing God, is it necessary that we have to think about and come to a rational process where we understand that there is a God by looking at and saying we have to prove the existence of God logically? The answer to that is that it depends. There are some people who know that there is a God and they are certain about it. And this certainty is something which is based on something which is defendable. Right? And maybe you met these people, people who haven't studied, right? They haven't gone to school, but they have grown up in a very pure environment. And they never were exposed to satanic type of thoughts which would swerve them away from something which is actually quite simple, believing in that there is a God. These people, they grow up and they have certainty that there is a God. They might not be able to prove it to you in a logical sort of way, but they know that there's a God. For them, we can't go and tell them that, no, you know what, you're awareness of God is something which is flawed, right? That's not correct. But for us growing up in this society where we're bombarded by so many types of, you know, people and thoughts, people saying that, okay, God doesn't exist, or if God exists, then how can it be with evolution and these type of things, right? It's important for us to first clarify that at a rational level, we should understand that it is possible to argue for the existence of God. Okay, and this is something that our philosophers, the Islamic philosophers, and even philosophers of other religions, like Christian philosophers, have spent a lot of effort in doing so, in terms of rationally proving the existence of God. So what I'd like to do in tonight is to give you a small proof of the existence of God on the basis of rational thinking, a rational, logical argument. Now, this is the type of thing that normally isn't presented from the minbar. Normally, it's the type of thing that you get in a classroom when you're studying, you know, like the belief systems and aqaid, aqidah, these type of things. But I feel that it's something which is important enough because of the challenges that we're facing from those who would like to swerve us away from our ideologies, that it's, let us just mention it. And I want to mention something which is a proof, very simple, but very powerful as well too. Something which is logically sound. Inshallah, if we can accept this, then we can move beyond this and go to the higher, more interesting, more sweet and delicious forms of how we can come to the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who would like to, inshallah, hear this logical proof, please say salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Brothers and sisters might have heard this before. If that's the case, it's good to review it in your mind.